Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack, bringing greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Y'all, during my study time last week, y'all, I unintentionally read a powerful verse that carries a great message. Y'all, Romans, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, y'all, is one of the verses that the believer, y'all, has very little problems keeping. You see, you know, there are many commands that we as believers, we really do struggle with. However, Romans 12:10, y'all, is not one of them. You see, Romans 12:10, y'all, as I read it now from the James Version, says these words. It says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Now, y'all, we have, y'all, no problem as a society in honoring each other. As we can see, it's evidence from y'all, the Grammys, the Emmys, the Stellas, the ESPYs, MVP this, MVP that, and the list goes on and on and on. However, y'all, the only problem with not the command, but with our response to the command. You see, y'all, we honor one another. The great athlete, the great actor, the great entertainer. But the problem is, y'all, I mean, we often, y'all, take for granted. We often forget about, y'all, the foot soldiers. I'm talking about the ones behind the scene. Those working the two and three jobs, y'all, making the thing do what it do. Romans 12:10, y'all, is only understood when we express our love, our appreciation, our gratitude. I mean, not just on special occasions, but more often than not. And we're talking about to the Little League coaches, the volunteers at the children's, the men, the women's shelters, those parents, y'all, who sacrifice, y'all, for those who are actually being honored. And let's not forget about the prayer warriors, y'all, those prayers that are lifted up for those who are seeking the greatness in life. Y'all, the Lord, he knew that we would distort Romans 12:10. Therefore, his son, Jesus Christ, addressed this matter, y'all, over some 2,000 years ago. Even prior to the advent of Christ, y'all, the Lord, he reveals the same in the days of Israel. You see, y'all, the pages of the Old Testament, y'all, they actually contain some of the most, y'all, amazing stories that you're going to ever hear anywhere. Y'all, many of the stories, y'all, they actually revolve around a young shepherd boy who grew up to become king. Now, y'all, David, he was the greatest king that Israel would ever know. But he, y'all, he didn't become great all on his own. Of course, y'all, he depended upon God, but he also relied upon at least 30 special soldiers for much of his military might. Y'all, they were known as David's mighty men, and they themselves, y'all, had some amazing feats. Now, this brings to mind, again, many of you, as just mentioned, which, of course, leads me, y'all, to continue believing that old renowned adage, "The race isn't given to the swift nor the fast, but to he or she who endureth until the end." And because of this, I have chosen as the title of our message this evening, "We honor you. We honor you, you mighty men and women of God." Now, our passage, of course, this evening, you all, will be coming from 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and I will read for your hearing verses 14 through 16. And it reads, "And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines were then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And the three mighty men, they break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Now, you all, within the circles of David's mighty men, you all, there were three men, three soldiers, you all, who actually formed his mastermind alliance. They were Jehoshaphat, Eleazar, and Shammah. Now, you all, Jehoshaphat, he was the chief of the captains of David's army. And he was also famous for slaying 800 enemy soldiers on one campaign. Certainly, y'all, this act speaks volumes of his heroism. Now, Shammah, y'all, he was also used of the Lord to bring victory. He risked his life, y'all, to defend a field of peas and barley. But why would he do that? This is something we would ask, but the question is, it's actually responding to the answer simply because, you all, that land belonged to the Lord. And to defend that land, you all, it meant to honor God and his covenant. Eleazar was a unique brother. Eleazar, you all, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. And Eleazar, you all, he fought side by side with David against the Philistines, while the rest of the Israelite army were retreating. Y'all, he and David alone stood their ground. Y'all, the Bible tells us that Eleazar, he fought so hard that his sword was welded to his hand. Y'all, the Lord, he honored the faith and also courage of Eleazar and David by giving them a great victory. It was two men against your entire battalion, yet they were victorious. You see, y'all, it doesn't take a great number to do a great thing. The Lord said, y'all, that we can do more with a little than the world can do with a lot. That's when in Christ. So yes, y'all, it took very special people to be one of David's mighty men. And yet, you all, God, he wants each and every one of us to be mighty in his army. Just as in David's army, your mighty men, they don't have to, you all, be a relative or a close friend, not even a member of the Mutual Admiration Society. In other words, you don't have to be in a clique to be a member of the army of God. Now, let's take a look at your three more of David's mighty men. But these are three unique men. They are unknown soldiers, like many of us who are behind the scenes today, who, because your becomes legendary in the spotlight of God's plan for each of our lives, which reveals to us, you all, that even our lives, which may be uneventful, can be used by God. So, y'all, it's easy to see why these three men, y'all, they were known as David's mighty men. But I don't think that they were chosen by David or renowned throughout Israel simply because of their physical might or even their skills with a weapon. Now, in Shammah's case, y'all, it was loyalty to God that caused him to risk his life in defense of a barley field. Now, what makes Eleazar's story so powerful is that, y'all, he stood his ground beside his king. He was both loyal and brave. The same can be said, y'all, of these three men, as well as many of you, y'all, that are present here under the sound of my voice this evening. So what can we learn, y'all, from these heroic men? What was it, y'all, that made them so mighty? What is it, you all, that makes a person mighty in the army of God today? Well, first of all, you all, they were mighty because they were close. Yes, you all, they were close enough to hear David's whispered words. Verse 15, you all, here we find that David had a craving. And he said to himself, Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which he used to drink from, see you all, when he was just a little boy. This text, y'all, has suggested that David, he spoke to himself about the water, yet he never issued any orders on the matter. However, these three men, they were close enough to hear the whispers and know the desire of their king. You know, this is the example that we must follow in our relationship with the captain of our salvation. So, y'all, if we want to be mighty men and women in the kingdom of God, then we too, you all, must be close enough to our king to know his desires and to hear his words. Christians who are the most effective soldiers of Christ are the ones, you all, who form the closest personal relationship with him. You see, your God's greatest desire is to be known. In Hosea, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, it tells us, it says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And in Philippians 3:8, Paul, he said that, you know, he gave up everything in life and considered it rubbish in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Following the example of these three mighty men, you all, we must count all things loss as we make knowing God, you all, our first priority. You see, God, he wants each of us, you all, to develop a close, intimate, and loving relationship with him. Now, you all, I would like to make three suggestions, you all, on how we can accomplish this task. Number one, pray constantly. Y'all, one of the two shortest verses in the Bible is, pray without ceasing. So yes, y'all, prayer is the key to the morning and the bolt lock to the night. And as the old adage goes, communication rules the nation. So yes, my brothers and sisters, our talk with God facilitates our walk with God. Number two, we should keep a song in our hearts. So, y'all, we don't need a good voice to sing. I mean, we can even make up our own songs, as we've all heard many times in the past. Y'all, David's mighty men, they actually sang the same song every day. The 23rd number of Psalms. It was taught to them by David himself, after composing it, you all, around the campfire while in exile, escaping the fatal trap initiated by his own son Absalom. And number three, listen. Listen carefully. Your God gave us one mouth, two eyes, and two ears for a reason. You see, y'all, we cannot know God's mind, will, or desires unless we open his word and look at it. Someone once said, if you carry the Bible when you're young, it will carry you when you're old. So yes, y'all, it is through his word that God reveals his will and plan for our lives. For anyone, y'all, who has an honest desire to be a mighty servant of God, we must first, you all, draw close enough to him that we may know his desires and hear his words. Now, you all, this closeness of the king, it was not all that made these men mighty. You all, they were also committed. They were committed enough, you all, to take David's wish as their command. Verse 16, it says, so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Now, you all, their service of the king was not just lip service. No, you all, they did not have to be commanded. They didn't have to you all be told. I mean, they didn't even need encouragement. You know, just the knowledge that their king wanted something. You said they were so committed and enthusiastic in their service to David. You know, they jumped to their feet and they marched off the battle. His wish was their command. Now today, you all, God's kingdom, it desperately needs Christians with this same tenacity and zeal. Confucius once said, wherever you go, go with your whole heart. You know, that is the attitude we see displayed here. And I'm sure you all that some people may have witnessed the behavior of these mighty men and probably called them fanatics or extremists. But you all, that didn't faze them one little bit. See, we must be willing, you all, to be called religious fanatics. Because you see, you all, our perspective is not the world's reality. And the world's reality, you all, must not be our perspective. Paul was an enthusiastic fan of Christ. When Paul was converted, you all, he left a good job. Well, actually, that depends on how you look at it. But I can certainly say with confidence that he left you all a prestigious position. He decided not to have a family. He decided not to have the barbecues on the weekend and the family vacations, but you all to live a missionary's life, a hard life. Paul, you all, in his decision to live a missionary's life, he suffered hunger. He suffered thirst, exhaustion, extreme heat, cold, shipwreck, snake bite, stoning, unlawful imprisonment, slander, public whipping, and a martyr's death. And for what? To win Christ, you all. To win Christ. You all, every great and commanding movement in the annals of the world is the triumph of enthusiasm. You see, your nothing great has ever been accomplished without it. H.W. Arnold once said, the worst bankruptcy in the world is the man who has lost his enthusiasm. The world would call such a person, you're a fanatic. But what we call that person, y'all, is a committed, mighty warrior of God. So closeness and commitment, wonderful attributes. However, you're they're not the only ingredients in the making of a mighty man or woman of God. You're these three servants of David, they were mighty men because you're they were also courageous. You see, they were courageous enough, you all, to obey at any cost. Notice, y'all, in the 14th verse, the garrison of the Philistines. The Philistines had established a permanent military installation within the walled city of Bethlehem. The fact that they had conquered the city of David in the first place, you all, it demonstrated the military power of their army. But despite the danger and the consequences, you all, these three men, they traveled 12 miles on foot, broke through the enemy line, and came back with that water that their king desired. David's men, y'all, they were prepared to risk both life and limb. David's men, y'all, they were there only to please their king. They were ready, y'all, to put their lives on the line in obedience to their Lord. I mean, if only y'all more Christians would display this level of courage. You see, y'all, we equate courage, y'all, with heroism. Firefighters running into a building, a burning building. Soldiers preparing for battle. Police officers arresting an armed criminal. You see, y'all, we think of courage, y'all, as something extraordinary. Something unusual. Something people are called upon, y'all, to exhibit only in dangerous, life-threatening situations and circumstances. Most of the time, you know, we think that we do not need courage. I mean, we just don't see courage as an everyday necessity. But that point of view, you all, is mistaken. You see, your courage is not just for extreme situations. In fact, your courage is the basis of the exercise of every other virtue. The dictionary says courage is the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or sudden changes in life with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. Now, you all, I believe that Mark Twain described it best when he said, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Your courage is required of God's people every day. You see, y'all, it takes courage to be honest all the time. I mean, think about it, y'all. Why do people lie? I mean, why don't we just, you all, state the truth clearly and completely? Usually it's because, you all, we fear the consequences. You see, a lack of diligently, you all, diligence, you all, could be due to a fear of failure. An unwillingness to share one's faith, it can result, you all, from a fear of rejection. A refusal to serve others, you all, without time and talents may stem from a fear of being taken advantage of or even exploited. Yo, we stop giving because what? We fear the economic times. Did you all know, you know, that it is extremely impossible to consistently, you know, live in the obedience to Christ and to have fellowship with Him and please Him as long as we are, you all, dominated by fear instead of courage? Y'all, without courage, y'all, all of our other virtues will be weak and easily compromised. They will fade away, y'all, at the slightest challenge. The Bible tells us, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. For the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Y'all, when we have God with us, we too, y'all, can be strong and courageous, just like David's mighty men. Truly, it took a very special man to serve as one of David's elite, as one of his mighty men, as they were loyal and brave in their service to the king. They were mighty men, y'all, because they were close enough to hear the whispered words of their king. They were mighty men because they were committed enough to take, y'all, the king's word as their command. And they were courageous enough to obey at all costs. Now, what is truly special about this story is how it ends. I mean, y'all, no matter what the Lord put in David's hand, David used it, you all, to honor God and to help people. A sling, a sword, a harp, a scepter, even a cup of water. And this was no exception. Y'all, when David looked into that cup, y'all, he didn't see water. Y'all, what David saw in that cup was the blood of the three men, you all, who had risked their lives to satisfy his desires and to drink that water would demean all of his men and cheapen the brave deed of the heroes. So instead, you all, David, he turned that cave into a temple and he poured that water out, you all, as a drink offering to the Lord. Y'all, it was an act of dedication, you all, that symbolized a person's life poured out in the service of the Lord. The three men had given themselves, y'all, as a sacrifice to the Lord. The service, you all, David. And we too, you all, must be this kind of servant. We must, you all, decide what it is that we seek out of, you all, joining the army of the Lord. And if we are going to be a soldier, for the Lord. Why not be a part of his elite regiment? I mean, I remember you all as a child. There was this one song. I mean, I cherished that song in my little heart as a child. Now, I don't really know why. And many people haven't even heard that song. But it was embedded in my heart as a little Christian boy. And I'm certain y'all it was influenced by the spiritual warriors that who was blessing my life by being in my life. One of the stanzas it says these words. It says, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. And then you all, at the end of that particular stanza, then you had the ending that was more like a tearjerker or a hard chain puller. It said, my mother, she was a soldier. She had to fight on the battlefield. One day she got old, she couldn't fight anymore, but she just had to fight it on out. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we can all, you all, be mighty men and women of the kingdom. And we are willing, you all, to just pour ourselves out in service of the King. You all, Christ, he would not ask anything that he hasn't already done himself. You all, Jesus, he gave himself as a sacrifice for us, a drink offering, if you will, for the sins of the world. He paid the ultimate price. And because of his sacrifice, his kingdom is now shared with us all. My dear brothers and sisters, continue. Continue to draw close to God. Continue to give a committed and committed and courageous life to Christ. Being a blessing to your neighbors. Thinking about the person who don't have or can't find, for he has chosen each of us as mighty warriors of God. And continue, you all, continue to prepare yourselves for God's majestic words of praise. Come to the front of the line, my committed and faithful servant, for you are not forgotten. Although you're underappreciated, my dear foot soldier, remember, you are the mighty men and women of God. And may God bless you, and may God keep you, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.